Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Bates with you on the Breakfast Bite for your Wednesday morning, August 15, 2018. Be very careful on the roads out there. Plenty of debris on the roads as you come into work this morning. It is very, very windy. Stay safe on the way in. Footy news from yesterday, not good news for Melbourne. Jesse Hogan's foot injury a lot worse than we thought. He's done for the year.
It's just a slight crack. It's just not worth risking because if it does, potentially go all the way through it from the cryosurgery and then it can get pretty ugly.
No, I trust the physios. I wouldn't have gone out if I didn't have confidence in my body.
Yeah, look, it's obviously a bit disappointing, but there's worse injuries. Johnson just did his 6 ACL, so I can't complain.
Speaking of done for the year, we won't see Nathan Brown from St Kilda. The tribunal giving him 3 matches last night for that bump on Saad.
I wholeheartedly accept the findings of the tribunal tonight and thank them for their time tonight. And again, I apologise to Adam and his family and hopefully he can take the field for Essendon this week.
Jesus, snappers were out in force last night. Meanwhile, John Longmire confirmed the news, unfortunately, yesterday regarding Alex Johnson's knee.
Immediate short term now, it's just let the dust settle and let him get his head around it. And that's the most important thing. There's no hurry on anything else or any discussion on anything else. I think that would be unfair. I don't think anyone would expect that at all. So we'll just take it day by day and he might look to get an operation next week.
Lots to get through on the Breakfast Bite, including Ben Stokes found not guilty overseas, and back home, another coach gone in the NRL.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Yeah, the coaching merry-go-round continues. More on that shortly. Stay tuned after 6 this morning. The Breakfast Club with Half Whitey and Sherelle. We'll head to England very early on too to get some reaction for the Ben Stokes non-guilty verdict that was handed down overnight. Isaac Smith's in the inner sanctum from Hawthorn. He'll be in the studio from 7 o'clock this morning. Mark Stevens also with all the latest footy news. We'll catch up with John Holland, Victorian and Australian spinner. He'll chat to us just after 8 o'clock this morning. Kelsey Brown from the Sunshine Coast Lightning netball team looking to go back-to-back. They've got their prelim final this weekend, and we'll get all the latest footy news with Steve early mail before 7 o'clock as well. So there is a hell of a lot to get through on RSN 927 on a busy Wednesday morning. On the Breakfast Bite, let's start with Jesse Hogan. As you heard, he is done for the year off the top. He elaborated a little bit more on his injury yesterday.
Initially, when I saw the scans, I thought it was just going to be, 4 to 6, and maybe, depending if we were to play finals and all the rest of it, I was a bit chance to play, and then found out that it's a bit more serious than that. So, it's obviously a bit disappointing, but there's worse injuries. Johnson just did his 6 ACL, so I can't complain. The footy's a pretty cruel game at times, and I've had my own troubles, and I think everyone does. But you can't sit here and think you're gonna have a perfect run. It's unfortunate, obviously, but I was gonna stay positive and just tick off the next box and go from there. The fact that we've caught mine early is a good sign. So we're probably with ruling the season out, it gives us that bit of extra time. There's no real time frame to rush back and potentially turn it into a 6 month, 12 month injury. So. We've caught it early, and the fact that I'm going to miss the rest of the season takes a bit of stress off having to try and get back.
Yeah, it puts a little bit more stress on the team, though, because Jesse Hogan, at his best, can be an absolute superstar. We'll hear a bit more from Angus Brayshaw from Melbourne in just a second, but as you heard as well, Nathan Brown given 3 matches from the AFL Tribunal last night, so that the other story dominating the Wednesday morning agenda. We'll get to Angus Brayshaw in just a tick, but before that, let's head to John Longmire. He, as you heard off the top, spoke about Alex Johnson and what is the next step for the man who has had one of the most unlucky football careers in history.
I'm not going to speculate. It's no point. I mean, as I said at the very start, is just let the dust settle on it and let everyone take a deep breath and let him have the operation and recover from that and take things from there. You get tested in all sorts of ways, and Alex has been tested probably the most I've seen, and you ask questions. I think my son summed it up. He said when I got home, you know, Alex doesn't deserve this. It's just not fair. He's a nice guy. That's what my 13-year-old son said, and probably sums it up. He's, you know, sometimes professional sport isn't fair, and sometimes certain players in particular get tested more than any other player, and Alex has certainly been tested that way. You know, we all feel for him. We all try and put ourselves in his shoes, but the reality is none of us know what he's going through, and the most important thing for Alex is to get around him, support him, but I'm sure he'll be doing that to us as well and our playing group, and making sure we keep our minds on the task at hand, and he's always been good at that and was a good at getting on the weekend.
John Longmire speaking yesterday. Angus Brayshaw was on the AFL Exchange podcast. He's a bit of news to come out of this. Have a listen to him talking about Andrew Gaff, who visited his brother Hamish after that punch a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they caught up earlier in the week, and it's probably really, I think it's going to be beneficial for Gaff to have that a bit of closure about it, and Andrew as well. You know, just to, for him to, you know, I can only imagine what it would be like to be punched in the face, what mentally that would do to you. So for him to accept the apology, I think it's a step in moving forward. It's a really good step, and for me, probably it closes the whole ordeal, but it's probably helped that Hamish is a teammate of Gaff's, and our parents sort of roughly know each other through the whole West Coast connection. So, it's been forgiven. So Andrew's accepted his apology, and as far as I'm concerned, it's he's got his punishment, and that's it. Bought around some flowers for Deborah, and Mum was at work, so it was just him and Andrew Brayshaw sitting there, and they just had a chat for 30 minutes, and he apologised, and they just sort of spoke about a few things, and it's, as far as I can tell, it went really well, and my little brother's Andrew's happy with how it's all been. Yeah.
Angus Brayshaw speaking there yesterday on the AFL Exchange podcast. He also spoke about the D's future in 2018 and where they want to head.
We love this. To be honest, as crazy as it might sound, we love the position we're in, where people are counting us out, and deja vu maybe. But yeah, our backs are against the wall and people are counting us out, and we just feel like we're in a really good position to. We've put ourselves in a position to play finals for the first time in however many years, and we're really excited for the opportunity to go to West Coast.
Angus Brayshaw there on the D's future in 2018. A couple of crunch games coming up for them. Let's head to GWS now. Leon Cameron speaking yesterday. Another man gone for the year, which is unfortunate for them. Heath Shaw ruled out.
He'll have an MCL operation probably Tuesday next week. He goes down and sees Julian Fella tomorrow. So it's pretty nasty, it's probably a four-month out operation. It's disappointing for him. He's been had a really good year at his age. We gave him an extended break last year and played some really good footy, especially the last 10 weeks. So he's going to be sorely missed in our back end because he's been there for the last 4 years. But with that, gives a great opportunity to, you know, players that are playing well in the NEAFL.
Leon Cameron there. What about the availability of Josh Kelly after he was slammed in that tackle from Tex Walker?
He's going okay. Look, he's probably more unlikely than likely. He's progressing in the right manner, but I reckon the real test will be tomorrow. And if he's not progressed to the manner that we think he can play on the weekend, then he won't play. Can't sort of send out a guy that firstly, A, has had a head knock. That's significant. And B, if he's not right in such a big game, then you know, he'd probably get found out.
To the NRL now, and Paul Kent last night on Fox Sports revealed the future of Trent Barrett is just about over at Manly. Take a listen.
It's been around the game a little bit about speculation about his future, and the club's taken steps to downplay that. We're writing tomorrow's paper that he has quit. He will quit at the end of the season. So three games left for Trent Barrett at Manly.
So, sorry, he has quit and that will take effect at the end of the season?
That is right, yes. So he's quit. The story over the weekend that he'd sent a letter to the Manly Seagulls saying if they don't come into play with a couple of requests that there were promises that they'd made when he extended his deal last year, that he would look at resigning. In fact, it was a resignation. And it's going to be taken into account and dealt with over the offseason.
So the coaching merry-go-round continues up north. How about further up north in Brisbane? Kevin Walters, who is, of course, the Origin coach, was pressed on his future, possibly returning to the Broncos as a replacement for Wayne Bennett.
No, I haven't had any communication, you know, with the Broncos. They've still got Wayne Bennett there on their books, and I believe he's signed for next year as well. It's been played out a lot in the media of recent weeks what's actually going to happen at the Broncos, but I guess you've got to put a lot of faith in Paul White and the Broncos board to come up with the right decision for the club, for the Brisbane Broncos club, and I guess that's what they're trying to achieve, and we probably need to respect that. Wayne's been a great coach at the Broncos and at the Dragons, also at the Knights, so... you know, and he's doing some good things there at the moment as well. Although they've dropped their last couple of games, they've played some good football this year at different stages. So how's it going to pan out and finish in the end? Well, I've got no idea, but I guess you've got to trust the, you know, as I say earlier, Paul White and the Broncos board to come up with the right decision around Wayne Bennett. And if they decide to he's finishing up at the end of next year, then they'll be looking for a coach around that.
Melbourne Storm, unfortunately, going to be without Ryan Hoffman for the remainder of the season. So that ankle injury has actually signalled the end of his career, because he is going to retire and he won't be getting back for the rest of the year. So that is sad news for Ryan Hoffman. Not the fairy tale finish that I think we'd all hoped for one of the Melbourne Storm stalwarts. Tim Glasby here was asked about the club and how they're helping him get through the next week or so.
I think it's just be there for him. I know he's obviously got some real close mates in this team, some blokes that he's been here for a very long time with. So and everyone's here for him if he wants anything at all, or you know, everyone's around and you know, whatever he needs, we're here for him.
And before the ad break, let's finish with cricket. As I mentioned off the top, a big win for Ben Stokes. He's been found not guilty, so he's free to play the third test against India. He'll be rushed straight into the squad. Now, the couple that defended him in court say that he was sticking up for them when he went into that fracas outside a Bristol nightclub last year.
Someone came across the road and tried bottling me, well, hit me with the bottle.
He could see it, like the people doing what they were doing and how homophobic they were and how nasty they came across.
I thought it was just a normal lass, like, do you know what I mean, sticking up someone that was obviously weaker than he was, which was quite nice. And when I realised who he was, I thought, fair play, because he obviously put his career at risk for someone that he never knew, do you know what I mean?
We are really thankful for what he has done, because Kai could have been left with a scar.
Oh, I'd say thank you, definitely, but thanks for being there. Sorry about all the drama I've landed you in, but yeah, a lot of appreciation.
Fair bit of drama over the last 12 months for Ben Stokes. He will be part of that third test squad to face India a little later on in the week. Let's hear now from Shane Warne. He spoke last night on Fox Sports, and he reckons it's time to move on from the ball tampering saga and get on with things in Australian cricket.
Look, I'm on record for saying that I don't think the punishment fit the crime. I thought 12 months was a severe penalty for what happened. I was disappointed, like everybody else, that it came out that the players decided to get sandpaper on a ball, and I think that hurt us all, and all of us Australians were embarrassed about that, about the Australian cricket team. But we need them. We're desperate for them. Have a look at the Australian side at the moment. We're lacking in batting, so we desperately need them, and we sort of want to rush them back. But they'll do their time. They'll pay their penance, their 12 months, and then they'll be back and they'll be better than ever.
Plenty to come on The Breakfast Bite after this. There's more footy and NRL news coming your way. Some rugby with the Wallabies in camp. Racing with Blake Shin. He posted a video yesterday. We'll play you the audio of that. And Jim Furyk on Tiger Woods' not President's Cup chances, Ryder Cup chances, which is coming up in a couple of weeks' time.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Bite on your Wednesday morning. The Breakfast Club, Half Whitey and Sherelle, not too far away in about 15 minutes' time. Let's head now to the golfing world, where Tiger Woods has been in some hot form recently. Jim Furyk was quizzed yesterday on Tiger's Ryder Cup prospects.
He's playing very well. I think there's a lot of folks out there that probably think he can help us. And we'll, you know, really what we wanted to talk about today was the top eight players. I realize Tiger's a story. I realize he's playing very well, and I'm excited to see that. But when I look at my captain's picks, I'll be looking at guys that have had a great body of work this year, guys that are playing well and maybe hot players at the time. I'm looking at pairings. I'm looking at who fits in well with these eight players. And I'm also looking at the golf course. I mean, Le Golf National is a wonderful golf course, in my opinion, but it suits a certain style of player. And I'll be looking at that. So, it's my job, I think, to round this team out in the best possible way. And these four players that we'll add, I think, will give us the best opportunity to be successful. So whether that's adding more veterans, whether that's adding some rookies to the team or some youth, I think both can be very valuable. What is important is how well Tiger has played. You know, sixth place at the Open Championship, a second place at the PGA. His game, I think the word he used was trending. His game's trending. So it's great to see him playing well. You know, for me, the numbers are, they're nice, good to look at, but not always the most important. We want the players that are going to help us be successful.
There we go, Jim Furyk speaking there. He's only supposed to speak about the eight automatic selections, not the captain's pick, but of course Tiger Woods dominated the entire press conference. Now to some rugby news, and Israel Folau spoke yesterday, got a red card in the last test series against Ireland. That also meant he missed one game. He's back for the Bledisloe Cup this weekend, but says he won't be changing his aerial attack on the ball.
Well, me personally, I won't modify anything. I think after the incident in June, going back to Super Rugby, I approached the game the same way as any other game. And, for me, he hasn't changed anything. So I think going into the weekend, I'll have the same mindset around attacking the ball in the air and obviously making good decisions around that. I believe my technique is fair play. And I'll attack the ball at every opportunity I get to try and win possession, for the team. So that mindset for myself won't change. It was a little bit grey, obviously, and I think I said it earlier in June that we needed, a lot more clarification going forward around that area, not only for myself but for guys that are involved in that, in those contests. So I think for me, it's never bothered me since that time. Like I said, I went back to Super Rugby and approached, the high balls the same way as I usually do.
Now to some racing news. Blake Shinn yesterday posted this video on social media with an update on how he's tracking after that nasty fall.
Hey everybody, I just want to send you a quick update, letting you know I'm in good spirits. Obviously yesterday was a pretty nasty fall and been inundated with text messages, phone calls. It's just shown to me that I'm involved in a wonderful industry. It means a lot to me. It's really helped me keep my spirits up. I know I haven't got back to anyone, but I thought I'd put this message out and personally thank everyone via, my social media. So I just want to thank everyone and let them know that it means a lot to me. Thank you.
Let's finish with the latest AFL and NRL news. We'll quickly whip through a couple of NRL points from yesterday. If you didn't hear earlier in the show, looks like Trent Barrett is on his way out of Manly. Paul Kent reporting today up in the Sydney newspapers that he will be gone at the end of the season and see out the last three games of the year. And then the other big story is Paul Gallen as to whether he will go on next year. That's aside from the coaches who seem to be chipping and changing all over the place at the moment. Andrew Fifita yesterday was asked about the future of Paul Gallen.
Okay, Gal can handle it. I know he can. He's mentally tough and he's one of the best in the gyms, and even on the field he's always competing against the other boys. So, when everyone else is walking in, he wants to sprint in and have races with pretty much the likes of me, Sepha, Boogs, and just trying to get up a hand on the younger ones. But look, he's doing his normal job. He's doing what's good for the team, and he's showing the little things that he does in the team. So, look, for me, age isn't a factor. Look, if he's still keeping up with the game and still keeping up with us, he could sign on for how many years he wants. But in saying that, look, it's totally up to him. I'm going to back his decision, whatever he wants to do. So, yeah.
And let's finish with the rest of the AFL news from yesterday we didn't get to before. First of all, Orazio Fantasia here on his contract.
I miss my family, of course, but my family come over as often as they can, so I was never really looking to go home. I love this place and love the boys. The bond we share in the locker room, I think Mizey said it on the weekend, the love we have for each other has grown massively. So to be a part of where we're going, I think we're heading in the right direction.
So Orazio Fantasia looking like he'll stay at the Dons. Now to John Worsfold. He was pressed on Brendan Goddard, but it's fair to say wasn't offering too much yesterday at the press conference.
Well, we're all absolutely on the same page out of that meeting now with where we're heading in terms of our decision-making. So that will play out in due course.
John Worsfold there yesterday. We'll stay with Essendon. Michael Hurley here. He's looking forward to the Richmond Challenge. It's going to be a big Friday night at the MCG.
Obviously two massive challenges. Playing the best of the best on the weekend on Friday night, which should be good fun. But for us, it's all about the process. We're not really talking about finals or things like that. We're talking about how we want to play and what the club wants to look like over the next 5 to 10 years. So it's a long-term look, but obviously there's that little bit of carrot at the end of the season for finals. But for us, it's just trying to take on Richmond on Friday and improve.
In case you missed it, at the top of the show, Nathan Brown ruled out for 3 weeks by the AFL Tribunal. So that suspension takes him into the end of round one next year. He'll miss the last 2 weeks of the season and the first week of 2019. Another man who found himself on the wrong side of the law on the footy field this week was Taylor Walker. He spoke about that sling tackle on Josh Kelly that he was suspended for with Triple M in Adelaide yesterday.
It does happen so quick, and I do remember getting in the motion. I was like, this could be a sling tackle, so I did let him go.
Yep.
But they're just so protective of the head, and if the consequence is that they're knocked out or they hit their head, then you're in trouble, disappointed. Yeah. But
Are you challenging it?
No, I'm not going to challenge it. Probably sums up my season. It's been very challenging for me individually and us as a footy team. So two games, I'll just cop it. My body's crying out for a bit of rest at the moment. So probably gives an opportunity for someone else to play the last two games, and I'll put the feet up and finish the year. I'm just still a little bit sore, and my groin's a little bit sore, and my foot's still a little bit sore. But I've played with them most of the year, so probably a bit of 2 weeks off will give me a head start on pre-season next year.
Tex Walker on Triple M yesterday over in Adelaide. Let's finish with Marcus Bontempelli and his press conference yesterday. He was asked about his contract.
You're right, I do have a year to run still, so the conversation's been ongoing with the club and my management, so it's a really positive position at the minute, and that'll just get done in due course.
We had an extended chat to him about his contract a couple of weeks ago on the Breakfast Club. If you want to have a look at that or listen, head to rsn.net.au or at RSN Breakfast on Twitter to check out all the audio and video available to you there. Plenty to come on the Breakfast Club. Stay with us after the 6 o'clock news. Half Whitey and Sherelle on their way with a very busy Wednesday morning, including Isaac Smith in the Inner Sanctum, Victorian and Australian cricketer John Holland, Kelsey Brown from the Sunshine Coast Lightning ahead of their prelim final, Steve-O with all the latest footy news, and plenty on the early mail as well. We'll try and get you another winner. Good day yesterday.